The African continent has seen at least 7 military coups in the last 2 years, the most recent in Gabon and Niger, as well as Burkina Faso, Guinea, Chad, Mali, and Sudan. Many of these countries are former French colonies in Western Africa. Let's talk now to Ebenezer Obadare, senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. His piece in the Wall Street Journal is headlined, "Why African Crowds Celebrate Coups." And I asked him why we're seeing images of people celebrating militaries overthrowing governments lately.
People do not identify with what is called democracy insofar as it tends to represent the narrow interests of the elite. In the case of Gabon, for instance, the president is the son of a former president who was in power for 41 years. And people felt that this is more of dynastic rule than a proper democracy. The other reason people are not trooping to the streets to denounce military rule is that, especially for young people, they feel that the dividends, what they call the dividends of democracy, have not been delivered. There are no jobs, there's no stability, there's no security. On the other hand, life has become more difficult for people. And as a result of this, people think, well, what's the difference between a democracy that does not deliver for me and soldiers who are not any morally different?
Oh, yeah. And what appreciable difference might it really make in my life? Many of these countries, as you know, are former French colonies. And during the coups in Niger and Gabon, we saw protesters demanding an end to lingering French presence there. How much of this colonial history is a factor here?
It's a huge factor. It's an important part of it. People feel that France has not relinquished its hold on those countries, even though it's no longer officially there as a colonial power. People feel that the French government have been very cozy with their leaders. And people also resent the fact that there are various French bases across different parts of West and Central Sahel. So these are the reasons why people, young people especially, are holding France responsible.
When you say a cozy relationship, the accusation of French leadership being cozy with their leaders is the suggestion, at least from their point of view, that even today, the French leaders are being complicit in a way.
Whether it is true or not, that's the perception of the people. In the case, so let's talk about Gabon just a little bit. The Bongo family that has been in charge of Gabon since the 1960s, when the country became independent, was famous for being very cozy, very warm in its relations with successive French prime ministers. So that has fueled the thinking among young people, especially, that there is really no difference between the government in Paris and the government in Libreville.
Another factor many have brought up is the reality that many of these countries are battling Islamic insurgencies. What are your thoughts there?
So that's a very important part of it. So, and this basically applies to all the countries of the Sahel, Niger, Burkina Faso, parts of Senegal. These are places where the Islamist insurgency has made life difficult for everyday people. And one of the things that the Islamist insurgency has done is to basically erode state capacity. And the erosion of state capacity has created a loss of confidence in the state, creating this mental atmosphere in which people distrust the state and treat it as illegitimate, thus creating the environment for military intervention.
Yeah. And then there is, in some of these countries, a Russian presence I want to ask you about. During the military takeover in Niger, we saw crowds waving Russian flags. And we know the Wagner Group, these gunmen for hire with loyalties to the Kremlin, are active in Mali and in the Central African Republic?
They are. They are active in different parts of Africa. And I think the interesting thing here is not just about Wagner as a group. It's the fact that Wagner is backed by Russia. Why Russia? And as you said earlier, why are young people wrapping themselves in the Russian flag? There are at least two explanations. One is that people perceive Russia to be the enemy of the West and France. So Russia is getting the benefit of the doubt as the enemy of my enemy becomes my friend. That's number one. Number two, people remember that the old Soviet Union, now Russia, gave material and strategic and military support to different nationalist governments in West Africa and in other parts of Africa. So this is kind of payback. an old friend who happens at this very time to be the enemy of my enemy. That's what explains the attraction to Russia.
So when you step back and see what's happening, I wonder where your optimism is. I mean, these are some of the youngest populations in the world in these countries. We're talking about a median age of 17 in parts of Western Africa. They watch TikTok videos. They see what's happening in the modern world. So for their futures, how do you think about hope and optimism?
Thank you for asking that question, because even though things might seem very gloomy, that is actually the source of my optimism. When we step back, what we need to ask is this. Young people are irate. They're taking to the street. They are wrapping themselves in Russian flag. They're burning the French flag. What exactly do they want? Survey after survey, poll after poll has shown that young people want 3-4 things. And they say these things consistently. They want stability. They want jobs. They want security. They want internet infrastructure. They want education. Every year, more than 20,000 researchers and PhD students leave Africa precisely because of those reasons. Thousands of young Africans die trying to cross the Sahara and the Mediterranean, trying to cross into Europe. The common thread here is what they're asking for. And it's because of that that we should be hopeful. That their disgruntlement with democracy is not an argument against democracy, is an insistence on good governance and popular representation and democracy. That should give us hope.
Yeah, and that hopefully this brain drain may reverse, right? When if the situations get better in these countries, that these brightest lights come back, yeah?
Absolutely. If over the next, you know, two decades or so, African countries were to come under a different system of government, if they became more democratic, more representative, and more responsive to the yearnings of young people, young professionals will not only refuse to leave, those who have left will certainly come back, and Africa will now continue to attract the best human capital from different parts of the world.
And finally, Ebenezer, this is somewhat personal for you. You left. You're originally from Nigeria. You were a student in the 90s during the Nigerian military dictatorship that lasted three decades. So how does your life in Nigeria inform your view of what we're seeing now?
Yeah, thank you for asking me that. From the get-go, I've been insisting that military rule is ruinous. I want to urge your listeners, if they have the opportunity, to listen to the songs of the late Afrobeat musician, Fela Nicola Kokuti. Has this album where he was talking about what the legacy of military rule is. And he summed it up in three words: sorrow, tears, and blood. I saw that. I experienced it. I had friends who were killed by the military. What the military does is this. When it comes in, it promises heaven and earth. It says, I'm going to liberate you. I'm going to give you freedom. I'm going to give you everything that the civilians denied you. That never happens. So Fela is speaking from the grave, and Fela is saying, young Africans, do not listen to the military. I understand your disgust, and I understand why you are despondent. But the solution to your despondency is not military rule, is better governance, is good democracy.
Ebenezer, we have the song queued up. Again, this is from the late artist Fela Kuti, and the song is Sorrow, Tears, and Blood from 1977.
Them leave sorrow, tears, and blood.
Them regular trademark.
Them leave sorrow, tears, and blood.
Them regular trademark.
Them regular trademark.
Them regular trademark.
That is why everybody run, run, run.
We have been talking to Ebenezer Obadare, senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations, about the string of military coups in Africa. Ebenezer, thanks for the time.
Thank you, my friend. Thanks for having me.
You are listening to Here and Now.